Thank you for joining us. Big show lined up today. We'll talk to Eddie Borsilli from Sirius XM. You'll talk to him at 8 o'clock. We'll go over the Raiders offseason up to this point and what to expect, especially when we take a look at some of the divisional previews we've done throughout the week. And with that, as we focus in on the AFC East, we'll talk to Miami Dolphins writer Travis Wingfield from South Beach at 8:30, 9 o'clock, Marcus Johnson from Tape Don't Lie. It is a bit of an abbreviated show, as we will cut the show a little early in the third hour to let room for Aviators baseball. Pre-game begins at 9:45. 702-365-9200 is the number to reach us here inside the studios. It's also our phone number, 702-365-9200. Hit us up there as well as up on X at R&R 920 AM. Vinny and Clay here with you. And don't forget, in 20 minutes time, we'll give you that sacred special word. Oh, so you could be a part and qualify for the Summer of Fun giveaway, as this week we are doing a fantastic Wyoming adventure. In 20 minutes time, we'll give you that secret word. You can text it in and you can qualify for the greatness. Vinny and Clay here with you on this Wednesday. And Vinny, it's hilarious because as we're doing the show yesterday, we saw on Undisputed on FS1 how Devontae Adams was making an interview talking about the Netflix Receivers docuseries that premieres tonight over on Netflix, as he's a part of that, as well as Justin Jefferson et al. And he's been making a rounds. It's good. It's like, Netflix has got him out there talking, and I think that's awesome because this is a guy that normally talks on the field. But yeah, this is something I think his episode might actually be very endearing, the fact that he's a guy that, less is more. I'll speak less, but when I do talk, it'll be significant. So maybe when he's going on the rounds of these talk shows, it makes me want to really anticipate a fantastic series that's going to be coming up very soon.
Yeah, and I think that the what's cool about this platform for Devontae is, and he's talked about this in some of the interviews that he's done. He's kind of a private guy. He's not one of those way out there, kind of superstars. Now, we have seen him do a lot of commercials since coming to the Las Vegas Raiders. That was, part of of his move out west, being able to raise his profile a little bit. Not that the Green Bay Packers didn't offer him a great stage, but it's a little bit different, playing for the Raiders, now playing out here on the West Coast, being closer to some of the opportunities, branding opportunities that he's been afforded since coming to the Raiders. So we've seen him on that platform, but I think this is something of a departure for him, to be able to open up and have the cameras follow him, with his family and behind the scenes. And I think it's going to be a great opportunity for him to express himself, and really for football fans to see a side of Devontae Adams that he's very guarded about. And I think he's kind of got to that point in his career. He's, 31 years old, where, certainly he's looking at things a little bit differently than maybe he did 3 or 4 years ago. And so this is a good timing for him to kind of express himself in a way that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, and I'm for one really like the Taco Bell commercial. The idea of having a Taco Bell right inside your home,
that was nice.
Pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yep.
But at the same time, last year when the game would be happening, and after the game, you'd have post game pressers in the locker room, and you're just rolling up to people for scrums, and there was a couple cameras out there. There would be like some, special type of away from the normal media. There was a camera. There would be somebody interviewing Devontae after certain games, and it always made you feel like, all right, I wonder what's going on there, and who is that for, and will he ever see the light of day? Well, now we know, because it's not like they have little Netflix flags on their microphones. You have no idea who they are.
Yeah, I've been a part of the Hard Knocks production, and you don't even know that they're there. They do such a great job of sort of blending in, because for us in our line of work, there's always cameras around. There's always, microphones. There's always cameras. There's always the big boom thing, depending on whether it's the team's media or, some of the local channels out here, some of the bigger national TV channels. So it all kind of, falls into the same category. And you're not really thinking as a reporter who's exactly with who. It just all sort of blends in together. And so whether it's HBO and Hard Knocks or now Netflix doing the Receiver series that we didn't even know was going on, that was how discreet they were able to be about it, or just kind of their way of blending in. And now we find out, a few months after, or about shortly after the season, that they had actually been working on this throughout all of last year. And that's going to be what's interesting to me. And I haven't seen the first episode. I know it dropped sometime today. It might have been midnight or so. I don't know exactly, you know, when it was, but I know Adam Hill told me that he watched it. Nothing earth-shattering yet, but it still was pretty interesting for Adam watching the parts that involved Devontae. I look forward to it when I get home later today, taking a look at it for myself. But it was an interesting year, you know, for the Raiders, to say the least. A coaching change, a general manager change, moving on to a quarterback change, disappointment, and then kind of a rally. And I'm interested. I think I know what his thoughts were about everything that was going on. I don't think that Devontae is somebody that, you know, when we talked to him, was shying away from anything or avoiding anything. And all of his answers to us, at least, were forthright. But, you know, in this platform, I'd like to see what his thoughts were in real time as things were going on.
Yeah, really. And, I mean, we saw how during all the kind of like in the early stages of the year where Devontae was getting left out to dry on certain passes, and he took some massive hits where it almost made you feel like, yeah, he's not showing. He's got to take some time off. There's going to be a couple weeks that he's going to miss at least. He just pounces back. Mm-hmm. Like his body, his ethic to return to the field, actually continue to be your hardest worker in practice was still part of his game, even though you could tell that he was dealing with some physical pain. You know, and this was probably nothing new for him in his career, but it wasn't like that when he started off in that first year with the Raiders with Derek Carr and McDaniels. The second year with Garoppolo and McDaniels, you could tell that there was a real strain.
Yeah, and Aiden O'Connell, too. There were a couple of balls that he threw that, you know, put Devontae in some harm's way. And, you know, he never complained about it. I know he felt it. No question about that. We all saw some of the hits that he took. And you know, he was able to bounce back, like you said. And he never missed any time. You know, I think there were a couple of practices where maybe they held him back a little mm-hmm. bit, but he takes a lot of pride in being present and being available and being out there and leading the way, no matter what the body might be saying or what body part might be barking. He sets that aside and goes about his business. And that's another thing that I'll be interested to watch, what kind of pain he really was dealing with last year.
And so he appeared yesterday on Kay Adams' show, FanDuel. The Up and Adams, and it's funny because I really enjoy when Devontae does talk because he has very like subtle ways of getting his point across, and sometimes not so subtle, as he was taking a little umbrage with the Chargers draft day video that always comes out and everyone clamors for what the Chargers do.
It was the scheduling.
The scheduling. When the schedule comes out, the Chargers online digital team comes up with something very special, usually a 3 to 5 minute animated special, and actually every team got like thrown into the garbage. But I guess when they did for the Raiders representative, it was Devontae that was getting picked up and thrown
among
into
others.
The garbage. And he had this to say. This is from Kay Adams.
You know, a few of the social media pages were posting some funny stuff of, you know, when the schedule was releasing. So they posted me and then like a trash can or something like that. The Chargers did. So I thought about responding on social media to it and, you know, being funny there, but I figured it'd be better to, you know, just beat their head in real life and continue doing it the way, you know, because my first game against them, I don't know, they clearly forgot.
Yeah,
it was
you
like
put
10 catches, 141 yards and a touchdown. And then the next time that same year, it was like 177 yards and, you know, 2 touchdowns, I think it was that game. So I just wanted to kind of remind them what they've been going through as it pertains to playing against me. And hopefully the people that made that post, because it's not the player's fault. They didn't have anything to do with the posts, but this is directed strictly toward the Chargers social media page. Please keep my name out your mouth and
Ooh.
Show some.
Are you in this new era where you're just letting it fly and opening up more? Because I was not expecting that. Devontae, I feel like you're at this point of your career where you're just letting it fly.
I am. You know, I'm
good for
I'm,
you.
They treat me like an old man, so I'm going to just act like, because, you know, old men, they don't think. They just say whatever, you know, whatever they feel. So that's how my grandpa is, at least. So I'm just trying to be the old man that they want me to be.
Devontae Adams with Up and Adams. All right. He's had a nice little career against the Chargers already. So far, as a Raider, it's totaled out to 4 games, 494 receiving yards, and 4 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that he's like, if you're going to treat me like an old man, I'm gonna talk like an old man. I'm not going to think. I'm not going to filter anything out. I'm just going to let you know, which is just, you know, Devontae's going to continue on in his own professional manner. But I just love the fact that he kind of strikes back a little bit just because he has that swagger. He can do that because he's such a professional.
Yeah, and such a dominant force on the football field. So there's no checks that Devontae Adams writes that he's not capable of cashing. And he's cashed a few checks already. Against the LA Chargers, and I think that you know, he'll remember that. He'll take all of that onto the field, and as he said, it's not, you know, it's not the players, it's not Justin Herbert leading that charge. It's their social media team, but you know what? They're part of the organization, and if you want to clap at him, he's going to clap back, and he normally does it on the football field, and he's had really good success at that. No matter who the quarterback has been for the Raiders, he's done well against the Chargers. And I like what he said about, you know, when you get to a certain age where, you know, I don't know, it's just older people in general, old men, old women. I remember my grandmother was just totally blunt after a certain period of time in her life where,
oh, really?
There was just no, you know, like, what do I have to worry about, you know, anymore? I'm not trying to please anybody or anything like that. I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel. And it feels like Devontae's getting to that point in his life.
I think that would be good. It would be hilarious if we could do a phone topic show where it's just like, all right, let's just do old person freedom. You just come out, and
yeah,
no filter, just say whatever you want. Would be probably be done in about 40 minutes and taken off the air.
Right, exactly.
But the idea is that for Devontae, that, yeah, I would love to see him, you know, kind of express himself in that way. Just in the fact that, you know, don't forget who I am. And, you know, fun is fun, but I'm going to show you on the field. And it begins week one. And I'm sure he's looking at, like, all right, Asante Samuel Jr., we have seen this before. You know, the other corner comes over from Tennessee for the Chargers, Christian Fulton and Jaycir Taylor as the nickelback. So it's like, all right, I feel pretty good about where I stand. Regardless of who's going to be throwing me the ball, I'm going to get mine.
Yeah, and, you know, above and beyond, you know, having the Chargers in his crosshairs, you know, there's certain players that, you know, when you take a step back from all this, you just want to see success for the team, for them. You know, I think Devontae Adams deserves to be in a winning situation, in a winning program, giving him, you know, the stages that he was afforded in Green Bay and hasn't necessarily been afforded here with the Raiders, because he deserves that. He's that good of a player. And I think that, you know, not just for him, but for fans in general, to be able to see him play in big games and put his stamp in big moments and on big stages, you know, you hope for that for certain players in this league. Max Crosby as well. You know, they've done their thing here with the Raiders in the regular season. They've played at a super high level. They've been professional in spite of some, you know, the struggles that we've seen these last 2 years, and it hasn't fazed them one bit in terms of their work ethic or professionalism. Or their production as well. And, you know, you want good things for players like that. And you know, unfortunately, it hasn't worked out these last couple of years here in Las Vegas for the Raiders. But, you know, you hope on some level that guys like that get rewarded. And the way you reward players like that is by putting good players around them, putting good coaches around them, and putting them in a position where they can show the world just how good they are. And you normally do that on the biggest stages. And those biggest stages are usually the playoffs.
It's I always felt that way, like kind of like watching Tim Brown play for the Raiders for so long. And it's like, you know, and everyone in the league knows that's one of the best receivers in the league, but he hasn't played in the Super Bowl yet. So you want to see like what it's like for Devontae Adams to get back to that spot where he's used to going to the postseason. He's used to excelling in the postseason. He's used to like pulling teams out of the mud and being that reliable big play receiver that he always is. There's plenty of tread on that tire for him to continue to do that, not only this year, but in years to come. So I sit there a little bit too, like watching it that first year with McDaniels and the first year he came in here. It's like that was just a 6-win season, and he was not comfortable with that. You know, he wants to excel so badly. And you started to feel like a little bit of like, man, I feel a little sorry for you, because I know you're here, you're getting things that you want, you're getting well paid, but at the same time, you have so much more to give, and we want to see more of that, because for even this year, I can't wait to see him come on the field and play like an MVP. You know, and you could say like, all right, well, maybe Max Crosby is like kind of like your de facto MVP of the Raiders in a way. But there's Devontae, too, that can a guy that can pull you over and be that one part of your team that no one else has an answer for on the defense. Can he have that kind of year again this year? I think absolutely, regardless of who's behind center. They can get him the ball. Anybody can find ways to get Devontae the ball because he is so intrinsically located for quarterbacks to find, you know, either I'll be, you know, on the slant, I'll find you, I'll keep my eyes on you. All the little things that great veteran pro receivers do, well, he does that by 10.
Yeah, well, and it's going to be on Aiden and or Gardner to get him the ball and to get him the ball in space, to get him the ball on time and efficiently and let him go do his thing. Because, like you said, he's definitely capable of doing that. There's a little bit of irony with Devontae right now in terms of where he is in his career, because there's so much about the situation in Las Vegas that checks off every one of his boxes. I mean, he's personally ecstatic to be here, to be with the team that he grew up rooting for, to be on the West Coast, to be closer to his family, to be in this great market. Here in Las Vegas, and it is a great market. I know that sometimes people from the outside look at Las Vegas and just think about, you know, the strip and that's it. Well, there's a lot to offer here in the Las Vegas area. You have all of the entertainment value that you need, all great restaurants, great platforms. This city is thriving right now, and in that respect, you know, Devontae is extremely happy. There's so much about this situation that is personally fulfilling for him. The one component that hasn't been added to this is the wins. Whereas in Green Bay, I felt like, you know, it was probably a little bit skewed in the, you know, they had great success from a team standpoint, but I don't know if that was necessarily the pace that really grabbed or the place that grabbed his heart the way Las Vegas does or the Raiders do. Not to say that he had anything against Green Bay, but it's a little bit different, you know, obviously. And so trying to marry both of those components of the personal happiness and satisfaction that he gets playing here in Las Vegas, and that is undisputed. Just talk to him about it, and those around him, they'll let you know how personally satisfying this move has been for him. But he also yearns to win and yearns to get back to that big stage, and that's the one thing that's missing from an otherwise perfect situation for him.
You know, as far as like his current situation in the league, as far as wide receivers and receiving yards as leaders, you know, he's right up there. You know, the current active players are Julio Jones at the top of the list, DeAndre Hopkins at the top of the list. Hard to say what they'll be like in 2024, but then it goes Mike Evans at, you know, 11,600 yards receiving, Travis Kelce, 11,300 yards receiving, Devontae Adams right there, 10,781 yards receiving. He's in the conversation of the best wide receivers playing in this moment. So what more can be had for a guy who's pretty much received all the kind of accolades
wins.
That he could?
Wins.
That's
period.
All.
Exclamation
That's
point.
All he needs. And it's like it's almost like grinding this. I don't want to see him go through another season of wasted year.
Yeah, you know, and we keep harping on this. Part of that's going to be predicated on the level of quarterback play that they get. I know it's you know, we continue to talk about that, but that is the reality. And really, when you think about it, Devontae's time here in Las Vegas has been held back by the level of play that, and that goes back to Derek Carr. And the level that he was playing at, which, you know, started fairly well, but then started fading that first year under Josh McDaniels. And then last year, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo was never, you know, he just was never right. He never looked right. He never looked comfortable. He never looked 100% healthy from the foot injury. And then it was a young quarterback in Aiden O'Connell who was inevitably going to go through some learning, you know, struggles and everything that comes with that. And the guy that you know, one of the people that has paid the biggest price for that is Devontae Adams. Even though the numbers are pretty good, they're still not quite where he's capable of getting to. But he needs help. He needs a quarterback that's going to be able to do their part, and then he'll take care of the rest. He's shown that time and again. And I still feel like that's available to him. You know, from a health standpoint and from a production standpoint. But he needs somebody that he can be able to count on at quarterback. And to me, that's the biggest question facing the Raiders, bar none.
All right, it's Raider Nation Radio here on the Morning Tailgate here on this Wednesday. We're going to take a look around the league and focus in on the AFC East. Raiders' opponents there are the Miami Dolphins. We'll talk to Travis Wingfield, a Red Dolphins reporter, at 8:30. But we'll get into the AFC East and talk about, you know, the teams that kind of stand in the Raiders' way when you think about what playoff seeding could look like.
The formation on the right. Austin Hooper is a fullback to the right of Josh Jacobs. They send Mayer in motion to the left. First and 10. O'Connell's going to pass. Settle. Taking a shot. Deep down the field for Adams. And he catches it at the 5 in stride. Walks in. Touchdown, Raiders!
They treat me like an old man, so I'm going to just act like, because, you know, old men, they don't think. They just say whatever, you know, whatever they feel. So that's how my grandpa is, at least. So I'm just trying to be the old man that they want me to be.
Devontae Adams coming back. Big 46-yard touchdown catch from Aiden O'Connell against Miami last November. We're back here on Raider Nation Radio. Thank you for being with us. 702-365-9200 is the number. Our text line brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center. And, hey, you want to qualify for the Great Wyoming Adventure, where you get 5 nights in the Rockin' M Cabins up in Alpine, Wisconsin? That's just 40 miles east of Jackson Hole. Text the word VISA, V-I-S-A, to 702-365-9200. That's your secret word of the day. Qualify, and you may have a chance at greatness. Get that fantastic vacation where there's horseback riding, fly fishing, $500 spending cash, rental car, or you just take the $3,000 pay up. It's all brought to you by the Planet Nissan Summer of Fun Vacation Series throughout this summer. Coming back there with that touchdown from Aiden O'Connell to Devontae Adams against the Miami Dolphins. And that was a game in which, I'm sure, towards the end of the season, not like on many other games, that the Raiders felt like they could have won that one.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. They went into yeah, a tough place to play in Miami. The Dolphins play very well at home and hung with them and had a chance to win that game, wasn't able to get it done. And there were, you know, a couple of things I'm sure the Raiders would have loved to have had back, a couple decisions that they would have liked to have had back. It didn't work out for them that night. But, you know, moving on to 2024, the question is, you know, did the Dolphins get better from last year? And it's hard to say they did, looking at things on paper. First of all, you know, you lose Christian Wilkins, one of the most dominant defensive tackles in the league, and you lose him to the Raiders, who you're going to eventually face in November. So the defensive line, I feel like just by that departure, is not going to be as good as it was last year. I think the secondary is a little bit of an issue for the Dolphins, especially when it comes to depth. Did they get better at wide receiver? Well, Odell Beckham Jr. I think is going to help out with the cast that they already have there in Miami. So that, I think, is going to help. But the offensive line, they lost a couple players to free agency. I know they've tried to supplement with the draft, but it might take a couple of those guys, or one in particular, a little while before they're, you know, ready to go. So when I look at the offensive line, not as good as it was last year. When I look at the defensive line, not as good as it was last year. When I look at the secondary, not as good as it was last year. Wide receiver, yes, that room is better for the Dolphins with the addition of Odell. But on balance, I don't think that they got better. In fact, I think they got worse.
I think they needed to kind of improve their offensive line only because they had such a great job of, you know, protecting Tua last year. You know, they only allowed 31 sacks. That's tied for the fourth fewest in the NFL. You want to keep that kind of consistency going, but it's not going to be that way for them. You know, they weren't able to totally extend the kind of contracts and get the kind of guys that they were looking for on both sides of the ball. But for interior blocking on the offensive line, Robert Jones, Isaiah Wynn, they combined to play about 14 of the 34 possible games last year. They lose Robert Hunt, and center Connor Williams was only on the field for 9 games last year. He's gone. So now he's replaced by Aaron Brewer, who comes over from Tennessee. A lot of new faces, a lot of guys that, quite honestly, are injury prone on that offensive line. And so if you're looking to try to get the most out of, you know, Tua Tagovailoa and your offense, I don't see why you would want to go short shrift that O-line. You would want to put and make sure that you have enough depth there to cover what you need to get done. Now, that running game still seems to be intact with Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane. He's got incredible speed, so getting Jalen Wright in the fourth round even bolsters that a little bit further. You know the wide receivers are good, but I'm with you. This defense, that doesn't look like upgrades to me.
Well, when you look at that run game, losing Robert Hunt was a big loss. And I don't know that...
talented guy.
Right, exactly. And he goes to Carolina to help protect their young quarterback. You know, one thing about the sacks is Miami's offense is predicated on getting the ball away really quick. You know, and there are a couple of reasons for that. One, it's just the byproduct of that offense. Two, they've been wanting to protect Tua, you know, in terms of the concussions and the injuries that he's suffered. And one way you do that is by, you know, trying to get him to get him to get the ball out a little bit quicker so that he's not, you know, dealing with the kind of sacks and massive hits that he was taking when he was holding on to the ball a little bit longer. So when I look at the sack totals, I do question how much of it was because of a dominant offensive line and how much of it was just by the scheme and by trying to really, you know, spray the ball around and get it out quickly. And that's still what they're going to try to do. And I'm sure the Dolphins feel like their offense is good enough. It's not a great offensive line. It wasn't a great offensive line last year. I feel like the loss of Hunt sets it back a little bit. But they feel it's good enough. Where I wonder if it's going to be, you know, what the real negative effect will be is with that running game. Because, you know, with the new faces, with the departures that they have, on that offensive line, are they going to be able to run it as well as they did last year? Are they going to take a little bit of a step back in that regard? I would imagine the sack total and all that's going to probably stay the same just because of how they operate that pass game with Tua. But I want to see what it looks like in the run game and how much the losses of some of those players are going to mean to that part of their game.
It's crazy because in that game against the Dolphins last year, the Raiders were in this second half like slugfest, and you would think that what the Miami Dolphins wanted to do was like, all right, let's just start running the ball and run it up against Las Vegas, because it appeared like early on in the season you could run the ball on the Raiders defense. But after Antonio Pierce came on board and those two wins against the Giants and Jets, they traveled to Miami, who was coming off a bye. They couldn't run the ball the way they wanted to against Las Vegas, and it started to show that, you know, when Ashon kind of got hurt and nicked up, that trying to rely on Mostert, it wasn't enough. And they couldn't just go and salt the game away with their running attack. That was just the one frustrating part, because even after the game, you know, Antonio Pierce was like, we didn't want to put too much on Aiden's plate right there. It's in the fourth quarter, asking him to try to like throw the ball to win the game. And maybe there was a lot of good reasoning behind that, because they know Aiden better than anybody, and he was still a rookie, still trying to figure out his way in the league, because they were trying to at least kind of like protect him in that way. Do you feel like that was the right way of going about it, especially when that game was so close and nobody had scored in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that made sense. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not an egregious, you know, type of an error. I thought that Antonio explained the thought process to a level where, okay, I get it, I understand it. You know, did it work? No, it didn't. It didn't work. Obviously, they lost the game, but you understood where he was coming from. And you know, for this whole notion, well, he's out on the field, you have to have full confidence in him, but you also have to be realistic as a coach. That's part of coaching. And sometimes you have to make, you know, difficult decisions on how you handle certain players based on that player's progression and kind of where they are in the whole scheme of mm-hmm. things of their maturation and their development. And going into that game, you know, Antonio Pierce just felt like, you know, maybe now's not the right time to put it all on Aiden's shoulders in that kind of a way. And so he was a little bit more reserved and prudent in how he handled him. It still almost worked. I think year under his belt, you know, for both the coach and Aiden O'Connell, if they're in a similar situation, I think that it gets handled a little bit differently, and that's reflective, or that will be reflective of where the coach and the coaching staff feels their quarterback is, whoever that quarterback might be.
So with the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, Tua, you know, entering his fifth season, everyone's still waiting for a contract to fall, and it seems like he's the next one up, right? Jeff Darlington with ESPN had spoke about this earlier over the weekend, saying that, you know, the contract discussions, well, at least they have been active.
Now, the last time I was on air reporting about this, I had mentioned that we weren't quite to the point where market value had been reached in the eyes of Tua Tagovailoa to the point where they could reach a deal. And while I can't say that there's anything imminent in terms of a deal as we inch closer to training camp, I can at least tell you that there have been active negotiations since then. They continue to try to get this done with a very amicable approach. It does not feel like this is going sideways by any means. I still think we'll have to wait and see if it gets done before the season.
Okay, that's Jeff Darlington from ESPN. Amicable approach, active talks. Okay, it sounds like something is in the works, and they're not going to wait until the end of the season necessarily.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, but it's like, how much would you want to wait and see on Tua if you were in the front office for Miami?
Well, I mean, if I was in charge, mm-hmm. I want to see him play this year.
Okay,
I don't want to give him the massive contract just yet, and that's nothing personal against Tua. I just don't know that at this point that he's the quarterback that I want to spend, you know, $50 million or whatever it might be for the next, you know, 3 or 4 years or whatever the contract length might be. I don't know that he's that quarterback just yet. And, you know, will this next season tell us? I would imagine that it'll be one more year to evaluate that question. And I get it, and I understand. This is why teams are always in such difficult positions in these propositions, because the counter argument is, all right, so then if you don't bring back Tua, what's your answer then? Look, you go back to the Derek Carr situation. You know, there were two decisions. There were two things going on. One was moving on from Derek Carr, which I think that at the time Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels were, and the organization as a whole, were, that's the decision that we need to make. Not willing to pay him the money that was owed. You know, remember the contract extension that he signed prior to the 2022 season wasn't really going to kick in until the 2023 season. That's when that money started, you know, escalating, and that's when the new part of the contract began to kick in. And their decision was, we don't feel like he's worth that money that he's on the books for right now. And so we're going to move on from Derek Carr. At that point in time, they completely understood that there's no solidified, declared, identified replacement for Derek Carr. That was a whole different proposition. And they understood that, you know, and they were willing to make that decision and make that move, right or wrong or indifferent, whatever you want to call it. That was their conviction. Move on from Derek Carr, figure out quarterback, whether it's this year or next year or eventually. They were okay with taking that path. So if you're the Miami Dolphins, this is where that's what the question becomes. Is Tua somebody that you're ready to put your faith in completely, monetarily, and by making sure that the keys are in his hands for the next 4 or 5 years? Or do you feel like that's not a worthy investment? Don't necessarily know who the replacement's going to be, but we're okay with moving on from Tua and then figuring that part of it out. But teams are in such precarious positions now when you don't have that replacement, and the fall off from Tua, even though you're not going from a Super Bowl contending team necessarily to the fall off of that, you are going from a team that's been knocking on the door, that has made the playoffs the last couple of years, that's competitive. They haven't won a division title. I contend that they really haven't. There aren't that many big games under his belt that he's won or even performed really great in big games. I'm talking about big divisional games, playoff games, where he went on the road against Kansas City and just looked completely lost. But there's still a drop off even between that level and what the other side might look like when you're searching for your next quarterback. So are you willing to do that? Are you willing to take that fall from what you already have, even though it might not be championship level, mm-hmm. but it's contention level, to whatever it might look like for the duration of time that it'll take to find somebody that's better than Tua? It's a tough question it's a tough proposition for teams to make those type of decisions. But I contend, don't throw money, big money, at something that you know in your heart isn't going to deliver what you ultimately want, and that's a championship.
Yeah, the thing about that game against the Dolphins last year with the Raiders, other than, you know, Tyreek Hill got his 146 yards, a touchdown, ripped off a big one for a big TD. It's, you're going to allow that for Tyreek Hill, but the way the Raiders defense held the other Dolphins receivers at bay, you know, Jaylen Waddle held to just 4 catches for 55 yards. If Tua was unable to, you know, attack with Tyreek Hill, the other weapons around him, he wasn't really able to engage. The Raiders defense, Raiders secondary played very well. That was a whew moment after the game for Miami. Like, all right, we escaped out of the, you know, at home with a win. But that could have worked kind of ugly, because there was a trend there with last year when every time Miami had to play a big game, they're 0-2 against Buffalo last year, 0-2 against Kansas City, including the playoff loss. But they were, you know, they lose to Baltimore. You know, and they lose
they
to
lost all their games against.
The
look at who they beat,
these
Clay,
good, these
and look
good
who
teams,
they lost to.
Yeah, these good teams that they faced.
They don't play well against them.
And Tua did not play well either. There were very paltry receiving numbers. I'm sorry, with passing yardage numbers. And it was if he couldn't hit Tyreek, then it really just all fell to hell.
I'm sorry, but that's how quarterbacks are judged. What are you doing in big games? You can look at you can look at sheer numbers and go, oh, the quarterback must have had a really good season. And then you start looking at it a little bit closer. Who did the vast majority of those positive stats come against? What did he do in big games? What did he do in the division? What did he do when you had to go out on the road against a big time opponent? That's how the great ones are judged. And so you look on paper at Tua's season, you're like, oh, those are big numbers. Those are great. But you just said they lost to this team. They lost to all the good teams, basically, that they played. They lost on the road. They didn't win their division. When they had an opportunity to do exactly that, and they failed miserably at doing that. It cost them a home playoff game. They had to go on the road against the Kansas City Chiefs. And what happened in that game? They looked morbid. He looked terrible in that game. And it's hard not to put that on the quarterback. You know, that was the issue when you think about the Raiders and you think about Derek Carr and that decision. When you think about the big games that he was in, the numbers looked really good in a lot of different ways. He was the leader in this. He was a leader in that, mm-hmm. a career leader in this. He threw for over 4,000 yards and blah, 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 and all the. But when push came to shove against really good teams, the Kansas City Chiefs going on the road, what happened then? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And if you want to pay somebody big money at that position, like $50 million a year or what Derek Carr wanted, are you winning the big games?
No, you weren't. You know, you have to
be that quarterback that can ascend your team and propel your team forward.
Right. And it doesn't mean that he has to carry the whole thing, but you also can't cower in those moments of truth. That's my biggest beef with Lamar Jackson right now. Mm-hmm. When it gets right down to it, the stats look spectacular. The MVP, all of that is great, and he is. And that's what's kind of frustrating about it for me, just watching him from afar, is that you're expecting him to carry that over into the biggest moments, into the playoffs, and be that player that you are in the regular season or in certain games in those biggest games. Derek Carr wasn't, and that's kind of indisputable. Yes, the overall numbers look pretty good, but when you really look at what was he doing against this team on this stage, in this type of weather condition? All those types of things that define the great quarterbacks that are able to plow through it and play great no matter who they're playing against or what the circumstances are, those are what the great ones do. And the guys that aren't, don't. And I'm, again, a firm believer in you don't throw serious money at players that you know in your heart probably aren't going to get it done in those biggest moments. And really, that's what this should always be all about. Are you the guy that we believe in those biggest moments? Or have you shown us enough that you're going to be able to be that kind of a guy? And I don't know that Tua is at this point. And therefore, I'd like to give it, if I'm the Miami Dolphins, one more season to see. Because he could. I'm not sitting here saying that he'll never be that. But he has to show it at some point.
Yeah, we're going around the league looking at teams division by division. Who is upgrading? I don't think the Miami Dolphins have upgraded.
No.
And I don't think you do as well. All right, we'll take a break and come back on this and clear the lines for you. Get a chance to win 2 tickets to go see the Front Row Card Sports Show this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, over at the Rio Hotel and Casino. It's 2 tickets. You can also qualify for $200 in card show bucks for the Front Row Card Show, 450 tables of cards, comics, and collectibles. You can get your tickets online at frontrowcardshow.com. Or be caller number 9 right now and hook it up for yourself, 702-365-9200.
Now back to Clay Baker with your morning tailgate on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Snap to Tua, looking left. Escapes from the pocket, across the 20, has the first down. Masterson hit him, and the ball is out. The Raiders have it. Well, they are blowing this dead. Marcus Epps has it cradled in his arms. They have blown the ball dead with what will be a first down for Tua Tagovailoa to the 26-yard line. Now, Antonio Pierce is walking the sideline. He's got his hands on the challenge flag, because you and I are about to see a replay. That ball's out, Lee.
Yeah, big hit by Luke Masterson, Marcus Epps with a fumble recovery, and that was part of the Miami Dolphins game in November 19th last season. We're back here on Raider Nation Radio. Thank you for being with us. Eddie Barsilli from SiriusXM will join us at the top of the next hour as we're kind of going around the AFC East and which teams have upgraded, which are important to think because the way the AFC kind of rolled out last year, you got to be careful of certain teams, and did they make the upgrades necessary coinciding with what the Raiders did to make them better than what they were last year? Because they are also in the hunt for the playoffs in the AFC, and you got seven in there, seated in there. How far are the Raiders behind that? Are they in the mix as well? From the text line 702-365-9200, we're talking about, you know, extending certain guys coming off that rookie contract and for the quarterback position, and you know how the money is going. Who is going to get that money, and how would you do it if you were in the front office? Vinny says he would wait until the end of the season just to see, like, are we going to have a repeat performance? Is it going to be leading the league in passing but yet losing all the big games? David from the 817 says I would say the same for Dak Prescott, and I don't believe Dak because he hasn't won a Super Bowl as well. That's from Douglas in the 970.
Forget about winning. I mean, but Dak has won big games. Dak has won division championships. Dak's played well in the playoffs. His team, you know, they've lost some playoff games. It's not really been on him. But he has won big games. He's gone and helped your. He's great in the division. I think what was it, 32-7? I think is the record, is something mm-hmm. crazy like that. I'll double check it. But
and wins against the Eagles. So when you're thinking about a top heavy NFC, you're beating that team that's gone to the Super Bowl twice that you've been in.
Right, he's been an MVP candidate. 2 years where he was within top five. Last year he was the runner up for the MVP. So I do think that Dak Prescott is worth that money. I do think that in the right situation, you can win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott. That's my point with when you look at the record for Tua against certain teams and in certain situations, it's not good. Whereas with Dak Prescott, 12 wins, playoffs, division championships, a couple of playoff wins. That to me is apples and oranges comparison.
Eddie Barsilli, he joins us next here on Raider Nation Radio. We'll talk to him about the AFC East and more. It's here on Raider Nation Radio.